প্রিয়জন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধরে যশোদা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যশোদা নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুনা তীর ভন ছড়ি যমুনা তীর ভন ছড়ি জয় রাধমাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী জয় রাধমাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী
জয় ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজগাচার্য অষ্টৌকার সত্য শ্রী শ্রীমদ ভাই চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত গোস্বামী শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয় শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম কি জয় অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু শ্রী গুরু ইন গৌরাঙ্গ Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text, what's the number? 35 and 36. So this morning we're reading from the third canto. Chapter entitled Questions by Vidura, Chapter 1, Text 35 and 36.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So text 35. Apisvidanye chanijatmadaivam.
Apisvidanye chanijatmadaivam. Ananya vritya samanu vrataye. Ridika satyatma charudishna Gadadaya swasti charanti somya
Ananya vritya samanuvrataye
Ridika satyatma
Vidhi satyatmaja charu Vishna.
Gadadaya swasti charanti saumya.
We'll just do this one a couple times, and then we're going to, maybe we'll recite the next one too. But the translation is, O sober one, others such as Vidika, Charudishna, Gada, and the son of Satyabhama. Is this loud enough if I'm like this?
Yeah.
Okay. O sober one, others such as Vidika, Charudishna, Gada, and the son of Satyabhama, who accept Lord Krishna as the soul of the self, and thus follow his path without deviation, are they well? And so Vidura is asking Uddhava about all of these people who are no longer there. And I tried finding some information on these people. And here's all I could find. There's not much about them. Hridika. Does anybody know anything about who Hridika is? I couldn't find anything. Nope. Amazing. When I searched in Prabhupada's books, this was the only verse that came up. And so Charudishna is mentioned in chapter 11 of the first canto, when Krishna arrives in Dwaraka, and it says family members got up from dining and resting to come and greet the Lord as he entered his capital city of Dwaraka, people such as Charudishna. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains, Charudishna is another son of Lord Sri Krishna and Rukmini Devi. He was also present during the Swayamvar ceremony of Draupadi. He was a great warrior, like his brothers and father. He fought with Vivanidhaka and killed him in the fight. And I don't know who I don't know anything about that fight, but it's in Prabhupada's purport. Vivanidhaka. Anybody heard of that one? Okay, so it's going to be a lot of questions in this class. I intend to confuse everybody with some deep questions that are coming up in the next verse. Satyabhama with Krishna had 10 sons. Okay, so Satyatmaja, the son of Satyabhama. How is he doing? So it doesn't say which son. So I've got the list. They have 10 sons. Anyone want to guess? Anyone know any of the names of Satyabhama's sons? I'm giving you a chance. Okay. Bhanu, Swabhanu, Subhanu, Bhanuman, Prabhanu, Atibhanu, Pratibhanu, Shribhanu, Brihadbhanu, and Chandrabhanu. 10 sons.
I sense a theme.
What does Bhanu mean?
Sun.
Sun. Oh. Really? Okay. So Bhanu is the first one, Swabhanu, Subhanu, Bhanuman, Prabhanu, Atibhanu, Pratibhanu, Shribhanu, Brihadbhanu, and Chandrabhanu. All right, so Vidura is asking, are they well? And another point is, the son of Satyabhama. So this list of people, and then he says, who accept Lord Sri Krishna as the soul of the self, and thus follow his path without deviation. Are they well? Ananya vritya samanu vrata ye. So they're following the ananya, absolutely, vritya, faith, Samanuvrata, followers. All right, so the next verse. I'll just read it. Everyone can repeat after me. Api svadorbhyam vijaya chuta bhyam. Api svadorbhyam vijaya chuta bhyam. Dharmena dharma praripati setum. Duryodhana tapyata yat sabhayam. Samrajya lakshmya vijayanu vritya. Also, let me inquire whether Maharaj Yudhishthira is now maintaining the kingdom according to religious principles and with respect for the path of religion. Formerly, Duryodhan was burning with envy because Yudhishthira was being protected by the arms of Krishna and Arjuna as if they were his own arms. I'll read the translation again. Also, let me inquire whether Maharaj Yudhishthira is now maintaining the kingdom according to religious principles and with respect for the path of religion. Formerly, Duryodhan was burning with envy because Yudhishthira was being protected by the arms of Krishna and Arjuna, as if they were his own arms. Purport, Maharaj Yudhishthira was the emblem of religion. When he was ruling his kingdom with the help of Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the opulence of his kingdom surpassed all imaginations of the opulence of the kingdom of heaven. His actual arms were Lord Krishna and Arjuna, and thus he surpassed everyone's opulence. Duryodhan, being envious of this opulence, planned so many schemes to put Yudhishthira into difficulty. And at last, the Battle of Kurukshetra was brought about. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthira was again able to rule his legitimate kingdom, and he reinstated the principles of honor and respect for religion. That is the beauty of a kingdom ruled by a pious king like Maharaj Yudhishthira. So it talks about the envy of Duryodhan. Formerly, Duryodhan was burning with envy because Yudhishthira was being protected by the arms of Krishna and Arjuna as if they were his own arms. Now, Prabhupada gives the example so many times of you can have lots and lots of zeros. If you have one zero and you put a one in front of it, then you have 10. So that one being Krishna. When you have Krishna, then you have actual value. Prabhupada told the story of, it wasn't a story, it was just commenting. He saw some dogs fighting over a coconut and he was laughing, like, what are they going to do with the coconut? Dogs don't have the ability to open up a coconut and get the value within the coconut. They're just fighting over it. So he said, the same way, materialistic people are fighting over the material world. They don't know how to enjoy it. They don't know what to do with it. You put that one in front of it, that zero becomes 10. That zero coconut becomes one. And Duryodhan had a lot of really valuable zeros if he could just cooperate with Krishna. He didn't have to be like that. He could have just appreciated, my cousins are really powerful. He didn't have that capacity in him. So instead, he tried to stop them so many times. What does it say here? Duryodhan, in the purport, Duryodhan, being envious of this opulence, planned so many schemes to put Yudhishthira into difficulty. And at last, the Battle of Kurukshetra was brought about. Just out of envy, he's just causing so much trouble. And he had all of these valuable things that he didn't even realize how valuable they were. like he had the friendship of Karna, who is the eldest of the Pandavas. He's every bit as much a Pandava as the others. The others were all born from demigod fathers. He was born from Bhimashvan. The other Pandavas would have respected him. He would have given the whole kingdom to Duryodhan. But Duryodhan was just, because of envy, he couldn't see what he had. He had powerful cousins. In chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita, describes the godly qualities. Abhayam, Satvasang, Shuddhi, Jnana Yoga, Vyavastiti. After those, what is it, four or five verses, then there's one verse that describes the demonic qualities. Arrogance, pride, anger, conceit, harshness, ignorance. These are demonic qualities. They don't know what they have because of arrogance. Dambo, darpa, bhimanascha. There's that manas word. Mana means they're looking for respect. They can't give respect. We see that word in a lot of shlokas. Trinadapi, sunichena, dururapi, suhishnana, amanina, manadena, kirtaniya, sadahari. So amanina, we're not looking to become respected, but manada, da means to give. So a devotee, in order to be able to chant the holy names of Krishna all the time, one has to learn to give respect in all situations. In chapter 13, one of Arjuna's questions is, what is knowledge? Krishna gives several verses in a row describing what knowledge are. The very first quality is?
Humility.
Humility, yes. What's the Sanskrit for it? All of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. The list of knowledge, humility. That's in there, but, oh man. What's the first verse? The list of? Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa kshantir arjavam. It's just the opposite of the list of demonic qualities. The list of demonic qualities, the last one is ignorance. So, just they're ignorant. So it's the opposite of knowledge. So Duryodhan, with all of his strengths, he was really good at influencing people. He was a politician. He would go and give gifts to people, give them such a nice reception. There was someone who was on their way to the battle of Kurukshetra to fight on behalf of the Pandavas. But every night, his whole army was treated to a nice feast and a whole reception, and he said, how could anyone not serve such a person that gives such a good reception? And then he found out it was Duryodhan giving him the reception. And it's like, oh no. Okay, I said it. I have to fight on his behalf. Who was that? Does anyone remember the name?
It was brought up the other day in class.
You brought it up.
I brought it up. Okay. Sorry, I'm an old man telling the same stories over and over again. They were good friends, and then they had to fight against each other in the battle. And like, okay, we're warriors, that's what we do. Okay, anyway, this is a side point. There's a few things I want to cover, and I don't want to lose track. But did you find something?
I just remembered the person who you were giving class about, it was his friend, like Yudhamanyu or something.
Yuyutsava? Okay. Okay, I don't have those notes anymore. They're temporary notes.
And then their friends ended up fighting because
Oh boy, just like the Civil War that happened here in America when you're talking to country people, especially Southerners that are all big on Civil War, you explain a little bit of the Bhagavad Gita to them and skip the names part. Just go to text 20 in chapter 1. And here's Arjuna's dilemma. And they totally relate to it. Like, oh yeah, that happened so much. People from the south, their brothers, their cousins were on the northern side, and there they are on the battlefield. And like, oh no, I gotta fight this guy. What can I do? And some people balked, because it's just not our nature to kill other humans. We have to be trained to do that. All right, and the arms of Yudhishthira's arms were Krishna and Arjuna, and with those arms, Yudhishthira is, he says, he starts off the purport, Maharaj, Yudhishthira was the emblem of religion. So he's just like perfectly good, won't ever do anything wrong, won't cheat anyone. Would seem like, how could he be diplomatic? How can you be an ambassador if everywhere you go you tell the truth? But Maharaj Yudhishthira found a way to do it, and his character was so pure that people respected whatever he said. And he had Krishna and Arjuna to back him up. Who was the president that said, speak softly, carry a big stick? I remember that from grade school. Roosevelt. Theodore, okay. So that was kind of Yudhishthira's program. Of course, he wasn't speaking softly. He was speaking strongly, but he had a big stick. He had two big sticks, Krishna and Arjuna. When Krishna went to try to negotiate a peace settlement with the Kauravas, I know this much from the Mahabharata. I remember this little part. He said, I know it's not going to work, but I'm going to go there just with the purpose of sowing dissension in our enemy, in his camp. So Krishna went there and he makes a speech saying, you know, please, we want to try to make a peaceful settlement. At least give us 5 villages to rule. And then he mentions 5 villages, and each one of those villages were places where Duryodhan had performed some atrocity, like, what was it, Varanavata? How do you say that? Varanavata, place where they burned down their house, tried to kill him. And 4 other villages, each one, like, when people heard it, was like, oh yeah, wow, because Duryodhan had been ruling the kingdom for, what, like 11, 12 years? At this time, and people were starting to think like, okay, that's all right. He's doing an okay job. Why should we disrupt everything? And Krishna wanted to come in and say, look at the character of your king. And that's where Duryodhan makes his famous speech. I will not give them enough land to drive a pin into. So that was his character, and then toward the end of this purport, Prabhupada says, Maharaj Yudhishthira was again able to rule his legitimate kingdom, and he reinstated the principles of honor and respect for religion. So this is, when Prabhupada talks about politicians, he always uses 2 words. And these 2 words, he fills them out in lots of other long purports or speeches. Anyone want to venture what 2 words Prabhupada uses to describe politicians? Usually when he's talking about Mayavadis, he'll say fools and rascals. And so for politicians, it's always okay, cheater. Rogues and thieves. Every time he starts talking about politicians, is always rogues and thieves. And so in our reading, I was like, wow, this always comes up. It's consistent. You watch. You're going to see it now forever, now that they've pointed it out. Every time he's talking about politicians, rogues and thieves. Other groups, fools and rascals. Teachers that don't know what their subject are cheaters. It's not a teacher, he's a cheater. So rogues and thieves. And the reason is they're rogues. It's because politics is a dirty business, and every time I've been watching, like trying to figure out, what does Prabhupada want us to do? Sometimes it sounds like he wants us to take over government power. He's always talking about the ideal management system is a monarchy with a pure devotee king in place, calling all the shots. So it sounds like he wants somebody to do this. He wants a devotee to do this. But then every time he's talking with a politician, he tells him, get out of this business. It's dirty. You're wasting your time. It was in Bombay. I talked about this when I gave class, I think last year, just repeating these same old stories because they're so good. There was a politician who seemed very sincere, who came to visit Prabhupada, and he said, our party is very much into the teachings of Lord Krishna, and it's a very pious party, and it looks very likely that we're going to win some seats, and we're going to have some influence. The government's going to be good. And Prabhupada was not impressed. He said, you're going to come in, then someone else will come in, and nothing will ever happen. And so the politician seemed a little disappointed, and Prabhupada kept speaking, and so the politician finally said, I think I see what you're wanting me to do. You're wanting me to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes. That's the only way you're going to have any influence over the government. So, kind of like Arjun, I'm trying to figure out, what does Prabhupada want us to do? It's like he's no halfway thing. No, like, get into politics, dabble in it, become a lawyer, work your way up. He's saying, don't do that. You're going to get polluted. Because when you're in there, you become duty-bound. People pay you favors, you have to pay them back. Even Yudhishthir had to pay some favors. He felt some obligation. Of course, from him, it was a total adherence to Dharma. When they were insulted and kicked out of the kingdom, living out in the forest, Duryodhan thought, let's go out where they are and we'll throw this lavish party with music and beautiful women and food while they're just out eating the fruits and the roots of the forest. They're just eating leaves. And we'll have this nice feast. Just to show off what they're missing out on. And so that's exactly what they did. But while they were out there, they picked a fight with Gandharvas. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And wasn't there one particular one that was named Chitra?
Chitrarata. Yeah, he's mentioned in the Gita. Of all the Gandharvas, Krishna is Chitrarata.
Oh, of the Gandharvas, Krishna is Chitrarata. Arjun marries his daughter. Oh, really? Which daughter is... Who is that?
I don't remember her name. I know the Manipuri's...
Ulupi? Ulupi.
Was it Ulupi?
I think so. Chitra Ratha. Duryodhan picked a fight with him. We're swimming in here now. You guys just go somewhere else. And the Gandharvas were like, oh yeah? So they started a big fight, and they were beating the Kauravas. And so someone came to Yudhishthira and said, our cousins are being stolen away by the Gandharvas, Yudhishthira said, and Bhima was like, this is great. And Arjuna was like, yeah, this is really good. What we had hoped for, the Gandharvas are doing for us. And Yudhishthira said, no, we have to go and rescue them. They are our cousins. They are our family. It does not look good if our family suffers a defeat at the hands of the Gandharvas. So Bhima's like, really? Are you kidding? And Yudhishthira said, yes, you have to carry out your vow. You promised you're going to kill each of the sons of Dhritarashtra with your own hands. How can you do that if the Gandharvas kill them? And so that was his way of encouraging Bhima. All right. So Bhima, Arjuna, they get out and they defeat the Gandharvas. The Gandharvas let them go. Duryodhan feels awful. Again. So he was trying to put Yudhishthira in a difficulty, and again, it just causes his own defeat. He feels so bad about it, he decides, I'm just going to sit here and fast until death. This is it. I'm no good. I don't deserve to live. So he was serious about it. But then some of his people came and said, well, you know, actually, it was just bad luck, and they plant all these ideas in his head, and okay, all right, we'll give it another try. You're really meant to be the king. So he tries again. So let's see, what other notes do I have here? So Arjuna is one of the arms of Yudhishthira. He's got this great power. There's nothing that Yudhishthira cannot do. And there's nothing that he will do that goes against Dharma. He will always act. He's the emblem of religion. Vidura is asking whether Maharaj Yudhishthira is now maintaining the kingdom according to religious principles and with respect for the path of religion. And of course he is. Vidura knows that. Now here's another question. Vidura is Yamaraj. Okay. And Yudhishthira is the son of Yamaraj. But while Vidura is on earth, Aryama is taking over the post of Yamaraj. So like, now what does Vidura feel any parental feelings toward Arjuna or Yudhishthira more than being his uncle? I'm wondering. I've never read anything anywhere on this. I'm just kind of throwing it out. Just a thought. So during the pandemic, I was busy. I had a lot of time on my hands. I was building a house, and I was listening to a lot of lectures. And I was listening to a lot of philosophy lectures. And this one professor was really good at explaining things. I was surprised how he could get so many different philosophies down and then explain the history of the world, what in the personal life of this person and why Marx came up with this idea, Nietzsche, and it's like, this is really good. So when this professor did a talk on the Mahabharata, I was really curious, like, how is he going to do with this? What's his insights to Mahabharata? Can he really read that whole book and give an overview of it? And he did pretty good. He started off telling the story of Mandavya, sometimes Prabhupada says Mandavya, sometimes Mandukya Muni, who was captured by the police and pierced with a lance. And so this professor tells that story. And when the Muni is released, he's like, why did this happen to me? all my life I've practiced Dharma. I've never done anything wrong. I'm going to Yamaraj and ask him what happened. So he goes to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj says, in your childhood, you poked an ant with a straw and poked a hole through that ant. So therefore, you had to go through that. And so the Muni said, you don't know what you're talking about. You're out of touch. You're out of touch with the world. You don't know how the world works. You're not qualified for your post. And so he cursed him. You come to Earth, and you're going to be in a position where you know everything about Dharma, but you can't do it. You can't do anything. You can't influence people. And so that's how this professor started the Mahabharata. I thought, that was interesting. Here's Yamaraj, the king of Dharma, who knows everything about it. Come to Earth. Work with some real people and see how this really fits. Can you do this? So he, as Vidura, is very frustrated living with his brother, giving perfectly good advice. His brother's blind, his emotions are blind. He's ruled by his emotions rather than by rational speech. Okay, so that professor went on talking about Dharma and how Dharma is our obligation to each other, and how throughout the Mahabharata this theme comes up again and again. All right, let's see what else I have here. So, let's see. All right, talked about that. So, back to the rogues and thieves. To become a politician, you will be influenced by the character of the people around you. And so that's why Prabhupada is telling everyone, don't get involved. It's more like focus on become a pure devotee. Then you'll have some influence. There was a story that went around maybe 10, 12 years ago, maybe some of you have heard it, that a devotee in Russia was reading the Lilamrita to his father. And when he got to the point where Prabhupada arrives in New York, and the date, whatever it was, September 1965, when his father heard that date, he said, wait a minute, what was that date again? And he read it, and his father became really emotional because he was in a submarine at that time with a nuclear warhead stationed right off the coast of the U.S., and he said, we were sent there. And it seemed like we were going to set that off. 1965, it seemed like this was really going to happen. And then on that date, they sent us orders, okay, turn around, come back home. And we were all so relieved. And so that's how he remembered that date. Was because, anyway, Prabhupada arrived in the U.S. And so devotees told that story, and they were like, wow, how powerful is Prabhupada? What kind of influence he has? So when I heard that story, I happened to be in Boone, North Carolina, living on the campus at where we had the Sadhu Sangha for many years. I was working with someone who was one of the people who helped to build that place. He was a follower of Maharishi. And when I told him that, he said, look, I'm getting goosebumps. This is what we are all about, because those people are really into energy. He said the powerhouse from the powerhouse that Prabhupada calls the dynamo, where all the electricity comes from, it's so powerful you can't do anything with it. If you plug your appliance into it, it's just going to melt. It's got to go down, go through the transformers, the substations, and then you got a little transformer in front of your house to bring it down to two lines of 110. Then you can plug your toaster in, and it'll work. He said, the power of the Supreme is just not anybody, not just anybody can handle it. Through meditation, through humility, you have to develop that kind of power, that you have to develop that kind of humility to handle that power without grounding out and being burnt. So they're all about, like, there are some yogis that have this kind of power through yoga. They can handle this. And I was thinking, it's a different way of looking at Prabhupada. And you see how he's acting. He's with one hand taking Krishna's power and then just giving it, and he's just letting it flow through him. And so I was thinking about that when we were in Boone, because it was, our life was kind of like that for a while. We were just taking things and giving things. People were giving us donations. We were cooking khichdi and going out and serving it out on the campus. And as long as we didn't hold on to anything, it just kept flowing. So he said, I entirely believe in the connection. It's not just a coincidence. And he said that they would do experiments. They would get large groups of people to meditate in a town. They'd go to some city, try to get a couple thousand people to sit in meditation and invoke auspiciousness. And they would carefully note how the crime rates would go down, how the gross national product would go up, the weather would improve. So they said every time they did that, it was pretty much 100%. Get a lot of people to meditate, everything goes better. So he said, this is the power of a lot of people, but you get the power of one person who's really strong. And so I think this is something what Prabhupada is saying. When I was trying to balance these two out, what does he want us to do? I kind of felt like Arjuna in the beginning of chapter 5 of the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna is confused. Krishna is saying, fight, and he's saying, nothing matters, everything's temporary. I just heard Prabhupada say in relation to Matra Sparsha Stakanteya, temporary problems are not problems. I thought that was interesting. This little phrase from Prabhupada, temporary problems are not problems. So, and then Krishna says, so now armed with this knowledge, stand and fight. Like, what? If it's not a problem, why should I fight? I should just sit and meditate on what is eternal. So Arjuna is really confused. And so in the beginning of chapter 5, he says, tell me one thing. You're telling me two things, meditate, fight. Which one do I do? Tell me one thing. And then Krishna goes on and says, do both. Meditate while fighting. So I'm trying to figure out, how are we going to run the world? I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm not a manager. But if some management type of person, some powerful person came to us and asked, so what does your guru want us to do? How should we run the world? If the president or the prime minister comes to you and asks advice, what would you tell them? And so I've been studying this, trying to figure out, what would I say? How do we distill this down into some simple little phrase? What's the essence of it all? So what I'm seeing now is, become a pure devotee, then you'll have this kind of influence. In one purport, Prabhupada talked about, this was in the fourth canto, where Prithu Maharaj, here's another good king, and another whole series of talks about politicians being rogues and thieves. King Prithu is talking about someone whose only asset is their good character. Now that's something to think about for a while. Your only asset is your good character. How many things do we... Some people are willing to abandon their good character to get things. But this guy is the other way around. If this will besmirch my character, I'm not going to do it. Because once it's smirched, it's gone. You can't clean it out. Well, you can. Anybody can reform. Even Kamsa had his moment of reformation. It was brief. I'm really sorry. Your daughter was Durga, so you must be really good people. I'm sorry. Sorry for killing all your other kids. For a moment, he was of good character, but it didn't last long. So that's the thing. It has to be consistent. So in one of those purports, Prabhupada talks about just recently in Bombay, they have lifted the ban on alcohol in the city. And he said that the civic leaders could not influence the people to give up their habit of drinking. So therefore, people were selling alcohol in all kinds of unusual places, and it was on the black market. So they thought, let's make it legal. The leaders didn't have the character to reform the people like Prithu Maharaj, who had that kind of character. He could influence his citizens. All right, so that's the important thing, to develop the character. So I'll read the verse one more time, open it up for discussion, and I hope someone has some insights how we're going to run the world based on Prabhupada's instructions. So the verse again, also let me inquire whether Maharaj Yudhisthira is now maintaining the kingdom according to religious principles and with respect for the path of religion. Formerly, Duryodhana was burning with envy because Yudhisthira was being protected by the arms of Krishna and Arjuna, as if they were his own arms. One more thing I remembered about Arjuna, he protected Maya Danava, who said, I want to give you something. And Arjuna was like, yeah, it's okay. And Krishna said, let him give you something. And so he made a palace for them to live in. And did he also build their assembly hall?
Indraprastha.
He built all of Indraprastha.
The chariot.
Arjuna's chariot built by Maya Danava?
No,
the city of Indraprastha. Okay. Yeah, and that was given by Duryodhana. It's like, here, we'll give you this land. Again, and Duryodhana tries to give them trouble, but again, it just comes back on him. He gives him the worst piece of land. And because of Arjuna's doing, it becomes this beautiful place. Okay, anything?
I guess we just really have to, because you have to change the character of the population, I think we just have to distribute Prabhupada's books and encourage people to chant the holy names of God. And as far as, you know, what should our policy be on taxation or, you know, atomic energy or, you know, all these different little, you know, I mean, Prabhupada didn't speak very specifically about the details like that. He focused on the big picture, which is change the heart.
Yeah. Okay. Well, taxation, yeah, he did say some things about it. And atomic energy, oh boy, if you want to go into what Prabhupada says about
karma,
energy, he's going to be like bullocks, ox power.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait.
One minute.
I'll try to hold.
Can you hold?
I was remembering that Sesha Prabhu tells me that how there was in God We Trust party here, and so they were trying to have Amarendra Prabhu as in the office, and they were really doing actually good in the south here, in some of the area in Gainesville. But then Srila Prabhupada actually told him to stop it. He says, it's not good for you to be involved in the politics. So he actually did stop the In God We Trust party.
Did he give specific reasons why it will not be good for you?
Yeah, I think so, but I, to be honest, I don't remember exactly what Srila Prabhupada said. But he did tell him to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody's interested in engaging these things, you know, like you say, Van Ashram, you could get into it. But, you know, he set up ISKCON to focus on brahminical things. It's not in the mission statement of ISKCON, worry about atomic energy, you know, or taxes. You know, it's to give them prasadam and get them a chant Hare Krishna and kirtan. But if someone's interested in running for politics and all that, he didn't tell them not to do it. I mean, at the beginning, he encouraged them, but he didn't make it part of ISKCON. You know, this is a project you can do. And then when they got a little bit far into it, started dragging a lot of devotees, he says, hey, let's back off now. It's really not our central thing. So, you know, we can engage everything, but then the question is, what is our central mission? I mean, if everybody gets a little bit purified of heart from taking prasadam and listening to class and all that, they're going to naturally not, just telling them, you know, with the stick, what will repression accomplish? So there is the place for that, too.
Yes. Not to get off track from the purpose of ISKCON. Thank you.
Your question of ruling the world. What is the difference between Yudhishthir and Duryodhana? What is the real difference? There's a big difference. One difference is that Yudhishthir Maharaj would draw his happiness from inside, connection with Krishna. Duryodhana never did that. So it doesn't matter how good one can be, he will exploit. Because jiva sukhanyashi, pleasure seeking by nature, we can never stop not seeking happiness. Hmm. So if we don't draw happiness from Krishna's consciousness, then we will be exploiting. It doesn't matter how good we artificially act. It is not possible. So that's why Rajarshi, Yudhishthira Maharaj is Rajarshi. Rajarshi means not ruling outside only, that's Raja. Rishi means he has a control and inner connection draws the happiness. Because he does that, he will never exploit ultimately. But any king who doesn't have a connection with God, inner control of the senses and drawing happiness from Krishna consciousness, he will exploit. Whoever it is, doesn't matter.
Thank you. Good point. Atmarama. So some sense of self-satisfaction that comes internally. You don't have any personal thing outside that you're aspiring for, except to serve. I was just hearing something about... See, I've heard this statement before, but then in this discussion it became much more clear. The discussion was about failure. And if you fail at your mission and you just keep going, if you put your identity into the mission, this is my project, it has my name on it. When it fails, you feel really bad. But if you feel that the project is more important than you are, okay, I failed, but the project is really important. I got to keep going. I'm not putting my name on the project. What I'm working on is more important than I am. So that's a way of putting our ego aside. I don't care if this project has my name on it or not.
Can I add something you were mentioning in the class that it's in the third chapter, first sloka, Arjuna asks, why you are encouraging me to join this ghastly war fair when ultimate goal is to get liberation out of everything? Krishna's suggestion was very scientific. Krishna's suggestion is not just do both. Krishna's suggestion is you are born with a particular psychophysical nature. You will be forced to act as a kshatriya, whether you fight for me or you fight for my maya. That's the only difference. There's no third choice.
Mm.
So every living entity in this world are born. 1860, Bhagavad Gita. Svabhava jena kunte nivadda sena karmana kartum nacchusi janmahat karishyasi avasapita. You are compelled to act what you are born with. So we have to become Krishna conscious means I have to engage my inborn nature. And then I'm done, purified. So it's not like Krishna was against Jnana Yoga. Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to do Karma Yoga because we are born with a particular karma, nature. We have to purify. Thank you.
Good. So our nature is a zero, and if we put Krishna in front of it, then it becomes 10, 100, 1,000. Okay. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. And one more question or comment. Ki Jai.
I wanted a couple things. I wanted to correct myself. It was Agni who gave the chariot.
Yeah.
Yes.
To Arjuna. And then he was burning the forest, and then Agni gave the chariot. And also, I was thinking the names of the sons of Satyabhama, that they all have Bhanu, the sun, and her father was a great worshipper of the sun.
You know why all these Bhanus? Are you familiar with
Satyabhama?
Satyabhama is still. Why their name is Bhanu? Because it is sun god who actually gave this daughter, Satyabhama, to Saptaji. Saptaji never conceived Satyabhama through his wife.
Oh. Okay, the world needs to know this.
We want the online people to hear about it.
I'll try to repeat it. No?
You want me to go in?
Yeah. People need to know this.
I'll make it short. In a great separation, Srimati Radharani jumped in a Jamuna Devi. And when she jumped in a Jamuna Devi, she transformed into a baby. Rukmini Devi's origin is Chandrabali. Chandrabali became Rukmini Devi and Radharani took the form of Satyabhama. So then Jamuna Devi is the daughter of sun god. He was the brother of Jamaraj. So then she took the baby. She was like so amazed how beautiful. So gave it to father. Father, I found this on my water. Of course, water is also our body. Yes. So then Suryadev was so happy that he immediately says, I know who needs a daughter because he's meditating for a long time. That was Satyaji, Satyabhama's father, because he didn't have any daughter. Then finally gave it to him. And that's how the whole episode. There's a big long story about beautiful Satyabhama's life.
There's a